When a new version of the software package that you use every day for your bread and butter comes out, it's always very exciting. And when SoundForge 5.0 was released, obviously that was pretty exciting here for me because it's something that I'm using on a daily basis. I was involved in the beta testing process of SoundForge version 5, as was anyone who chose to download the public beta from the Sonic Foundry website. But now it's all official, it has been released, and towards the end of this look at SoundForge version 5, we'll talk a little bit about how you might be able to obtain SoundForge 5 for a bargain basement price, as they say in the ads, for a limited time only. But I'd like to start by talking a little bit about why SoundForge. What is all the hype about? Why is it that so many of the blind people involved in audio production are using SoundForge as opposed to other options on the market such as CoolEdit or Goldwave or others? I think the answer to this question is that there is extraordinarily good keyboard support in SoundForge, and that continues, you'll be pleased to hear, in version 5. But in particular, the issue with SoundForge is that in its keys for selecting material, for manipulating data, and in this case that data is sound, of course, you will find consistency with standard Windows methods, and that makes all the difference, particularly if you're a comfortable Windows user. For example, if I want to select a bit of sound to manipulate it, maybe that I want to delete that sound, it may be that I want to copy it to the clipboard and paste it somewhere else. Perhaps I want to apply an effect such as reverb or chorus or add a bit of dynamic compression, any of those things. All I need to do is hold down the shift key and use my arrow keys just like I was using a word processor. I can use my page up and page down in conjunction with the shift key for larger amounts. I can put my cursor at a point and then use shift control home to select from where I am to the top of the file. All of those, if you're familiar with working in Windows, are standard selection keys. That is one of the most powerful selling points of SoundForge for blind users, and it's why so many of us have foregone other sound editors in favor of SoundForge. There really is nothing like it. Also, SoundForge is an industry leader. If you are interested in working in the audio production area, you'll find SoundForge in a lot of places. SoundForge is only a single-track editor, though. One of the interesting things about version 5 of SoundForge is that it does ship with Vegas Audio LE, which is their multi-track editor, the LE version that comes free of charge with SoundForge. Does give you non-destructive editing in an 8-track environment. And I haven't really had a good look at that yet to determine how usable it is, whether it's usable out of the box, whether it might be usable with scripting, etc. But it is there. I think most of us who are in audio production and are blind tend to use Cakewalk for multi-track audio, but maybe this Vegas Audio LE will take off as people get familiar with it. One of the questions that I'm asked regularly by people is, what's the difference between the full SoundForge, which most of the time is rather expensive, selling for around about $400 US, and SoundForge XP, which is the much less expensive product? Well, there are a number of differences which may or may not be important, and I'll highlight some of the key differences. Firstly, SoundForge, the full version, has a whole lot of really nice presets. Now, that can be quite useful if you are not the kind of person who likes to tinker with all sorts of sliders and get settings just right, and perhaps you don't really necessarily understand all of the complexities of audio production, but you just want to go through a range of presets, preview them before you apply them to the sound file, and then get on with it. Well, that's what you can do with the full SoundForge. For example, if I go into the graphics equalizer in SoundForge, in the XP version, I would just be able to tab through the options and move the sliders around and then press enter and it will apply them. With the full SoundForge, I can arrow through a whole series of handy presets. For example, boost the bass, boost bass and treble, boost the mid-range, all of those things. It's just a case of simply arrowing to the thing that you're interested in and pressing enter. Also, in SoundForge, you can preview what you're doing before you apply it, so you can hear how good it is, and change it before you go through the time-consuming process of actually applying it to the full file. So the presets are a huge advantage, and they're everywhere. In just about every dialogue in SoundForge, there are presets designed to make your life easier, and it means that you can really be an audio production novice, but sound like you're a production engineer with years of experience. It's quite remarkable, all of the presets that it offers. DirectX is another big reason why SoundForge is the way to go if you're able to manage it over SoundForge XP. DirectX is a Microsoft standard. Well, it's a Microsoft system, and I guess because of Microsoft's dominance in the marketplace, it's sort of become a standard by default in the Windows environment. It's a library that's now part of the operating system. Updates of it come out regularly through Windows Update. And DirectX allows sound applications and also video and gaming applications to share plugins and information. Now, an example of a DirectX plugin that will work in SoundForge but will not work in SoundForge XP is the famous Sonic Foundry noise reduction plugin. It's famous for a reason. It's the best out there, at least that I've heard. You pay for it, unfortunately, but I've been recently transferring a lot of vinyl recordings from my turntable to the computer so that I can have them in MP3 files. I haven't played some of these old records for years, and using the vinyl restoration, it's remarkable how clean they sound. Even some really dodgy sounding records with lots of crackle come up nice and crisp, with surprisingly few artifacts. It's quite incredible. Noise reduction can also be used to get electrical hum out of a recording, or perhaps some sort of noise in the background that you don't want. Sometimes you get artifacts with that. It's unavoidable. In other words, the recording sounds a little bit weird. But it's in my view, the best out there. It's certainly the best I have heard, and I've had a good look for noise reduction. So DirectX allows you to use those plugins, not just with SoundForge, but any DirectX-capable editor. And indeed, one of the exciting things about SoundForge version 5 is that Sonic Foundry has chosen to convert pretty much everything, all of the presets and options, to DirectX, which means that if you like the way that SoundForge does something and you have another DirectX-capable program, that DirectX-capable program can access all of these SoundForge features from within that other program. Very nifty. And the final reason why I would say SoundForge is the best way to go if you can possibly manage it is its ability to do non-destructive editing. And in fact, it's something that is not as widely known about as it could be. If you've got the SoundForge tutorial that I produced for Freedom Scientific, we cover that in there, and I'll talk a little bit about that tutorial towards the end of this section on SoundForge. But what I mean by non-destructive editing is that sound files take up a lot of disk space. If you're recording CD quality stereo audio, in fact, you're going to be taking about 10 megabytes a minute of disk space. And if you're recording something and you make a bit of a blemish, you perhaps say something inappropriately and you want to correct it, sometimes the easiest way when you're doing digital editing is just to say, oops, okay, put a mark in the file and come back to it later. Now, if you don't have the ability to do non-destructive editing, you're going to have to mark that section that you want to delete and hit the delete key and wait a very long time while that information is taken out of the file and the file is reconstructed. Sometimes taking out a 3 or 4 second piece of information when you're not editing non-destructively can take 3 or 4 minutes, and you soon tire of digital editing in that kind of environment. Now, there's no way around that in SoundForge XP. I guess it's assumed that people are using SoundForge XP for less critical tasks, perhaps dubbing things from CD or for vinyl or cassette or something. But with the full SoundForge, they have a feature called the cut list. What that allows you to do is put all of the material that you want to delete in a special place, and then you can just delete that material all in one go. So the putting of the material in that special place, known as the cut list, takes less than a second to do. So you can make very minute edits, keep playing until it's right, and you don't have to sit there waiting and waiting and waiting for the file to be reconstructed. When the file sounds exactly like you want, then you say to SoundForge, okay, go away and permanently remove all of the stuff that I've marked for deletion, and that will take maybe a couple of minutes, but it does it in one sweep. And if you're serious about audio production, you will want a non-destructive editor, such as the feature that SoundForge offers, really does speed things up. So those are some of the key differences between XP and the full SoundForge. Now, SoundForge XP version 5 is not out yet. It's scheduled to be out in early March for download, I understand. So those of you who want to wait for SoundForge XP, which retails for around about $59 US, will have to wait a little bit longer. Let's talk about access. That's always the worry when a new version comes out. Has the manufacturer broken things? Is the program less accessible than it was before? Well, I think broadly the answer to that question is no. SoundForge has always had a few access issues, and it's because it uses quite a large number of custom controls. By that I mean that when you use a Windows application, you have list views and tree views and controls that Windows recognizes. Sometimes, though, the developers make their own controls that, in effect, do the same thing, but they look different, either visually or to the operating system. And sometimes you have to tell a screen reader how to treat those controls. In other words, you can say to it, well, this may not quite be your regular tree view, but to all intents and purposes, it is a tree view, so please, Mr. Jaws or Ms. Window Eyes, use this as a tree view. And that's fine. That just takes a bit of work. Now, a lot of that was done in the Jaws 3.7 scripts for SoundForge 4.5, and also Brian Hartchen has written some excellent set files for Window Eyes. Just to complete the picture too, Jim Snowbarger has written some brilliant SoundForge scripts which offer features that sighted people don't even have in terms of scrubbing functions, moving through the file and hearing where you're at as you move through the file. So where are we at with the scripts? Well, Brian Hartgen already has SoundForge 5.0 set files for Window Eyes. They have been released and they are available. You can get them free of charge from www.hartgen.org. That's HARTGEN.org. Brian has suddenly, in the last couple of months, gone all prolific on us and developed a whole range of set files. Very well done. I mean, they really showcase the power of Window Eyes' set file writing language. If you're one of those people that thought that Window Eyes doesn't have a lot of grunt when it comes to configurability, look at Brian Hutchins' SoundForge set files and drool. They are very good. I don't think Henter Joyce has updated its 3.7 scripts for SoundForge yet to work with version 5. And I know that Jim Snowbarger is frantically working on updating his scripts, which cost $25 US. And you can order those online from www.wwsnow.com. That's www.wwsnow.com. Now, you can use the Jaws 3.7 scripts with SoundForge with a reasonable degree of effectiveness. There are some things that don't work as well as they might, but key features such as the selection being announced, the time being announced, they do work. The issue here is that you're going to have to rename the scripts. Well, I would actually copy them. I would go to a DOS prompt and go into your Jaws directory with the scripts. Now, if you're running the update that's currently in beta, that would be /Jaws37U/settings/ENU. If you're not running the beta, then it's just Jaws37/settings/ENU. You will want to type copy /forge32.*forge.*. The reason for that is that the program is now called forge.exe, not forge32.exe. So you go into your Jaws scripts directory and type copy /forge32.*forge.*, and you will get reasonable functionality with SoundForge 5.0. Now, you can purchase SoundForge 5.0 online, and you can download your purchase if you wish, or you can pay a little bit extra and get a CD. We received word a couple of weeks ago, and it's been on the PC audio list frantically ever since, about a special offer that Sonic Foundry is offering, and I understand that we are quite free to tell you about this offer, so I don't think I'm breaking any kind of confidentiality. While they're not advertising it on their site, if you find out about it, you can use it. This is an incredible offer because SoundForge is offering a copy of SoundForge 5.0 until March the 19th. This is the full version for just $99 US. Now, that's about a quarter of the regular price. And it's not that much more expensive than the XP version. So if you've been wanting to save up for the full version, and if you can possibly manage it, now is the time to get SoundForge version 5 for $99 US. Now, that is not, as I say, advertised on the Sonic Foundry website. So if you would like the URL to get the special offer, drop me an email and I will make sure that you get it. Just drop me an email at mainmenu@acbradio.org and I'll make sure that I get you that URL to avail yourself of that SoundForge $99 special. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. You can go on there, you can purchase it, you can then download your product. I think the full SoundForge is about 18 megs. Then if you want to download Vegas Audio LE, which you can get for free once you've purchased your SoundForge, that's another 22 megs. You can also download a raft of acoustic mirror impulse files, and I'm going to talk about acoustic mirror soon and demonstrate it. And you can also download the manual. I'm having difficulty with that manual. I have to investigate it a bit further, but it seems that it will not work with the Adobe Access plugin or with the PDF to TXT feature, which I think is extremely rude, and I'm going to have to see if I can contact Sonic Foundry to see if they will give me a copy of that in a format that's actually usable. So, I've talked a lot about SoundForge 5, and I want to showcase now just some of the new features in SoundForge version 5. So to do that, I'm going to run SoundForge now, and I'm using JAWS version 3.7, the release version 3.7.47 at the moment, and I have renamed my SoundForge scripts as I indicated before, and I have a hotkey. Now, this is an interesting thing too, by the way. It's a bit quirky. I first noticed this with the Microsoft Office 2000 suite. There are certain applications that don't let you assign a hotkey to their shortcut. I don't know why on earth this happens or what the rationale behind it is. So I actually had to create a second shortcut myself in the SoundForge group so I could assign a hotkey to it, which is Control-Alt-S, and I'm just going to press that now and let SoundForge come up. While SoundForge is loading, I also want to mention something very important that is mentioned in the promotional messages. It's mentioned on the website, but I would hate you to purchase this and be disappointed. SoundForge requires Windows
98.
Yes, thank you. SoundForge requires Windows 98. There was a suggestion, it may even be said by Sonic Foundry, that you need second edition, but you actually don't. The machine that I'm using for the purposes of this demonstration is running Windows 98, the original version. But you do need Windows 98, second edition, Millennium, and they say they probably support NT, but they're not guaranteeing it. Windows 2000, I believe, is supported. The bottom line is, it does not run on Windows 95, and Microsoft is no longer supporting Windows 95. Increasingly, manufacturers of software will not support Windows 95. It's just one of the realities of life. It's now an old operating system. So if you have 95, you may want to upgrade, maybe bite the bullet and go straight to Millennium. So we're in SoundForge now, and really there's not much difference in terms of the way the screen looks from previous versions of SoundForge, if you are familiar with that. So let's demonstrate some of the new features. We'll get right into it, I think, and demonstrate the acoustic mirror. The first thing that people will notice when I create a new sound file
new window dialog,
with Control N, is that there's a much greater range here. The sampling rate goes all the way up to 192. So it used to go up to 44,100, it now goes up to 192,000. It's highly unlikely that if you have a consumer industry sound card that you're going to support that. The highest your card is likely to support at this point is 48K. Also, SoundForge will support 24-bit and 32-bit audio, but again, you'll be struggling to find a regular consumer sound card at this point that will do that. I guess the good thing is that you've future-proofed yourself. Well, not entirely, but at least for the next few years, I would suggest, so that if you do get new sound hardware in the future that supports these huge sampling rates and wider bit depths, then you've got a sound editor that will be able to deal with them. So there are a few more choices to deal with when you're cycling through the question of sampling rates and bit rates, but the dialogue is virtually the same. Now, I'm in the SoundForge window now, having chosen to create a new file by pressing Control N and then just pressing Enter for the defaults, because I've already set it up to do a 44 kilohertz stereo file, which is CD quality. What I would like to do is talk to you about Acoustic Mirror, and I'm still playing with this, but if I can try and describe to you what it does, Acoustic Mirror allows you to take environmental samples. I can see that this would be quite useful in, let's say, a radio or TV production setting where you went on location with a laptop and you were interviewing someone. Let's say I was interviewing you and I went to your house and I recorded an interview with you and I took an Acoustic Mirror sample. And when I got back to the studio and listened to the interview, I was unhappy with the questions that I had asked, maybe the way that they were asked. Maybe I wanted to rephrase the question. Now, it's really difficult to do that and make it sound natural if you're back in the studio and you haven't got the same acoustics that you had when you were doing the original interview. But if you've taken an Acoustic Mirror sample, you can actually ask the question and then apply the Acoustic Mirror sample to your question, so it sounds like you asked the question in the environment that you recorded the rest of the interview. Very groovy. That's a rather boring example. I mean, the fact is that it's just plain fun. You can download heaps of Acoustic Mirror samples from the Sonic Foundry website, and I'm going to demonstrate giving a lecture, which I sort of almost feel like I'm doing, on SoundForge. So let's pretend that I have this major fantasy about standing up in front of hundreds of people in a major university lecture hall and giving a lecture on SoundForge for a degree in audio production. Now I'm going to press Control R to get into the record dialog.
Record sound zero.
And now I'm going to press Alt R and start talking. And just show you what happens here. So at the moment, all I'm doing is recording the sample. You have to have some material to work with before you can use Acoustic Mirror. So let's start talking. Good evening, everyone, and thank you very much for being here. Welcome to my lecture on SoundForge. Nice to see so many of you here. I'd like you to turn to your textbooks now on page 233, because we're going to talk about the Acoustic Mirror feature. Okay, that's enough of that nonsense. So we've got the recording here, and I'll just play that back to verify.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you very much for being here.
Okay. Play on.
So now I'm going to go into the effects menu.
Effects. Acoustic Mirror dot dot dot.
And Acoustic Mirror is the first option on the effects menu. So I'm going to press Enter to get in there. Now you can apply
Acoustic Mirror Sound 001 dialog. CPU percent 24-bit process.
That's quite interesting. All right, now you can apply an Acoustic Mirror impulse file to this recording, which is what we want to do. And I'm just going to tab through the dialog, which doesn't necessarily speak terribly well. And I'm not going to tutor the use of this, by the way. I'm simply showing you what it does. So I'm
save
just moving
preview,
through here.
Bypass check, real-time check, create undo, selection, dot, impulse R.
All right, now.
Impulse R, R, pi, and 0 dry out W edit compo. See program files Sonic Foundry shared plugins audio churches ST.
Alright, I'm in the churches option at the moment, so I don't really want that one. So I'm going to browse for acoustic mirror impulse files. These are the files that you can download that other people have recorded, and I've got mine set up in a kind of a directory structure based on the categories. So let's just see if we can
audio.
Go into audio, and now I'm going to press... Well, let's just arrow through them.
Right. Bridges.
We've got bridges.
Right. Churches. Concert halls.
Concert halls might be an option, but I think there are also lecture halls.
Current models. Discontinued classics. Hallways. HRTF impulses. Large rooms. Large venues. Lecture halls.
There we go. We have a lecture hall set there, but I'll just keep arrowing through and show you what else I have.
Long. Medium room. Microphones. Misc. Outdoors. Plates. Small rooms. Springs. Synth.
Right, so there are all sorts of cool things here, but I'm going to press L to get back to lecture halls because this is a list view, so I can do that.
Large rooms, large vent, lecture halls.
And press enter.
List view, not selected graphic 439 ACK hall 30 feet dot phi.
1 of 5.
Okay, I've got 5 lecture halls to choose from.
Auditorium, east high dot phi.
That sounds interesting.
Bascom hall 15 dot phi. Bascom hall 30 dot phi. Bascom Hall 50 dot phi.
Alright, well let's try the second one.
Auditorium, east high dot phi.
The auditorium, so I'm going to press enter Sonic to load that impulse file, and now I'm going to just, I can actually press Alt P to preview it, so that before I actually apply it to the file, I can preview this in real time, but I'm going to take a chance on it because it's only showing you briefly what this does.
Impulse.
So I'm going to the...
Real time, bypass, preview, save at help button, cancel, okay button.
There's the okay button, I'm going to press enter. And it is now applying the acoustic mirror impulse file.
Data window.
And it's done it, so it didn't take too long. And I'm going to play that, and you will now hear me in this lecture hall.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you very much for being here. Welcome to my lecture on the sound board. Nice to see so many of you here. I'd like you to turn to your textbooks now on page 233, because we're going to talk about the acoustic mirror feature.
What you have to appreciate is that I think that actually sounds very authentically like how you would have heard that if you were sitting in the audience and you had your tape recorder there and you were recording that off the PA system. You know what I'm saying? You were sitting there and recording it with your mic. I think that's how it sounds. And I also have to say it sounds really good in stereo, but you're not able to hear that here on main menu. So that's acoustic mirror. I mean, I could sit here and play with this all day. I haven't really been able to find a very constructive use for it, unfortunately, in my line of work. but it's just awesome. You know, they've got bridges, so you can sound like you're under different bridges and in different kinds of positions, facing the wall or away from the wall, a range of churches, all sorts of funny synthetic effects. And really, it's quite fantastic. So that's a brief demonstration of what you can do with the acoustic mirror feature. Just let me spin that again. Oh, yes.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for being here.
Audio production is fun. Oh, I'm not going to save that, so we'll just
sound.
Move out of there.
Play them.
All right, so that's the acoustic mirror. Download those samples and unzip them in a way that suits you. Now, you may prefer to have them all unzipped into one big folder to make it easy. I've downloaded every acoustic mirror sample I can get my hands on, and I like to have a bit of structure, so I have respected the directory structure that Sonic Foundry actually tries to impose. So I've got all my bridges in one folder, churches in another, lecture halls in another. I just find it a little bit easier to use that way. But if you prefer not to do that, just chuck them all in one folder, unzip them all. You will need a program like WinZip or Zip Magic or something like that, and a lot of bandwidth to download these acoustic mirror impulse files. Once you register SoundForge, it's all there for you. Incidentally, one thing I didn't cover, which I will just mention now, is that registering this version of SoundForge is a snap. Once you've purchased it, they email you and also allow you to download a .reg file. This is a Windows registry file, and you would certainly not want to run one of these files unless you were absolutely 120 million percent confident of the source, because the Windows registry is a pretty lethal thing. I think you can trust Sonic Foundry, and you just press enter on this reg file. It says, do you want to apply the changes to the registry? You answer yes, and it's registered the product for you. Really good. If you prefer, you can also type in the serial numbers manually, but this is a really quick way to do it. Very easy. Now, there are some other features in SoundForge that are new. One of the options is the Wave Hammer, which is something that allows you to do a whole range of tasks on your WAV file at once. I'm just going to record a quick sample for us to play with on this WAV Hammer. So, let me see. This is a very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities of the WAV Hammer feature of SoundForge 5.0. We'll just check that that's okay. Okay. Now, we missed the beginning of that, probably because there are so many processes going on in order to demonstrate this to you. But that's all right. Let's go into the effects menu once again.
Effects. Acoustic mirror dot dot dot.
And choose
Wave Hammer dot.
Wave Hammer. Now, the first thing is that for some reason, I'm not getting focus in the right place in the Wave Hammer, and you can easily fix that by routing the JAWS cursor to the PC if you're using JFW.
JAWS to PC.
And then just left clicking.
Left click. Wave Hammer Sound 2 dialog.
Okay.
CPU
now
PC.
We're in business. Now, immediately we're in one of SoundForge's famous combo boxes. This is the things that are not there in XP that are there in the full SoundForge. And there are a lot of nifty functions that you can do through the Wave Hammer. Let's have a look.
Bass.
Now, there's the bass, and I can preview that by pressing Alt-P.
Alt-P.
A very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities.
Right,
I can certainly hear in the studio that that's a lot more bassy than what we had.
Bypass.
Now, there's bypass, so that's a preset. You can just make sure it's all turned off.
Deep compression.
Deep compression. Dynamic compression is something that's covered in my SoundForge tutorial, and I guess I'll just play you a bit of it, see if you can hear what it sounds like. You may not, because in the post-production phase of main menu, we actually do use quite a bit of dynamic compression anyway. So we'll give this a spin.
Okay.
A very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities of the Wave Hammer. That is extremely compressed, so I can certainly hear that here.
Default parameters.
There's the default.
Drums.
Now, this is one that apparently you would use if you were going to be doing a drum track. I don't know what it sounds like with speech. A very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities of the Wave Hammer feature. It's interesting. It's kind of got a crispness about some of the highs there, and just a little compression. I can imagine that Phil Collins would like his drums to sound like that, actually.
Guitar.
And so we can go on.
Guitar distortion 1.
Now, this is that kind of fuzzbox effect. Let's see what happens with speech when you apply this. A very quick sample so that we can test. Yeah, there's a bit of distortion there and a surprising amount of acoustics, actually.
Guitar distortion 2. Guitar distortion 3. Limited. Guitar distortion 3 fuzzy.
All right. Now, this is clearly a fuzz. A very quick sample so that we can test. Okay. Sounds a bit like Radio Moscow used to.
Limited 6 dB and maximized.
This is a nice one. I've been quite pleased with the results with this. So what you're doing here is limiting at negative 6 dB. So you're going to have quite a bit of dynamic compression here, and you're also maximizing the peak. A very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities of the Wave Hammer. I really like that.
Master for 16-bit. Medium compression. Smooth compression. Voice.
There is a voice feature there. Let's listen to that one.
Alt-P.
A very quick sample so that we can test the capabilities.
Right.
So you can move through, and we should be able to move through and adjust some of these parameters, although I have found that in the Wave Hammer I'm not getting appropriate responses from the Tab and Shift-Tab keys. It's odd because it's the only place where this seems to be happening. It may be something we can take up with Sonic Foundry. It may be something that the script and set file gurus can deal with. But that's the Wave Hammer. It's an alternative to using, for example, your normalization processes and your dynamic compression. It's just another way of getting control over your sound. And you may like to have a play with it if you get SoundForge version 5.0. Now, there's another nice feature in the Tools menu. Let's go there.
Tools. Audio plugin chainer dot dot dot. Create CD dot dot dot.
Create CD allows you to write to a CD burner your finished product. So, it could be argued that you may not need to have Easy CD Creator anymore. I wouldn't quite go that far. I think that there are some nice basic features in here. But that I tend to go with the specialist software for specialist tasks. But you could certainly do it. You can burn onto a CD as an audio CD.
Extract audio from CD dot dot dot.
Now you can also extract audio from CD, and I'd like to show you this a little bit.
Auto region dot dot dot.
We'll just go through this.
Extract region dot.
These things are there from last time.
Find dot dot.
The old version.
Repair.
Now you can repair a WAV file. This is another new feature in SoundForge, and it does mean that some blemishes in the audio can be dealt with post-production. I'm not yet convinced about the value of this, but it's one of those things that if you're desperate enough to try and get some horrible sound out of the audio, you'll try anything, and hopefully I'll find a time when it might work and be useful.
CrossFit loop dot dot dot, sampler dot dot dot, synthesis, spectrum analysis dot dot dot, statistics dot dot dot.
There's now a dialogue that gives you statistics about your file. Let's go in there.
Statistics sound to dialogue.
It's a dialogue, and we can just press into B to read the dialogue.
Statistics sound to. OK button. Help button. Left channel. Right channel. Cursor position. 00:00:00.0000.
Okay, I'm going to stop that there, but you get the idea. What you've got is a dialogue detailing quite technical information about samples, the loudest point, the RMS power, the DC offset, if any. A whole range of technical information that actually it's really good to have access to, because at least with some of those things, a sighted person can glance at the screen and see the shape of the WAV file and perhaps get a few ideas about some of those issues. But to have them in that statistics dialogue, I think, is a huge access improvement. So good on them for doing that. Let's go back into the Tools menu now, and we'll have a look at extracting audio from a CD.
Tool, create, extract audio from CD dot dot dot. Extract audio from CD
dialogue.
OK button.
Alright, we're on the OK button, so I'm going to tab through the dialogue.
Cancel button, help button, refresh button, play button, speed combo box, max.
So it's set to the maximum speed of extraction.
Drive combo box, add a peak ROM 138.0.0.
That's fine. I've got two drives that it could choose from. One is the CD recorder, the other is just a standard CD drive, and it's chosen that one, which is fine because I have put Billy Joel's The Nylon Curtain album in there for the purposes of this demonstration.
Read by tracks radio button checked.
One of three.
We've got three, in fact, options here. Read by tracks is the first.
Read entire CD radio button checked.
Two of three.
Read by range radio button checked.
Three.
Read by range is quite a good feature, but we'll go to read by tracks, which is the default.
Read by tracks radio button checked. Read by range radio button checked.
3 of 3.
Read by tracks radio button checked.
1 of 3.
Read by range radio button checked.
3 of 3.
Yeah, so read by tracks and read by range are checked. It's a funny bit of an access thing there, but that's okay.
Read entire CD rate. Read by range. Create regions for each track. Checkbox not checked.
This is a great feature. If you select multiple tracks, then it's going to put those tracks into one WAV file. But you can create regions for each track, and that means that you can use SoundForge's excellent Extract Regions feature to make a separate WAV file for each song after the extraction process is completed.
Create markers for each index change, checkbox not checked.
Now, I really like this feature because indexing occurs a lot, particularly, I think, on classical CDs. When you skip between tracks, That's one level, if you like, of section on a CD. But there is a subsection that's not well known about called indexes. And you can have indexes within tracks to take you to specific points within a track. If this option is checked, SoundForge is going to create a marker at each index point, which is really good if you need to edit material that you've extracted from a CD. Now I'm just going to back tab and get to the list view.
Create list 1 list view. Not selected 01 audio 00 colon 02.0003 colon 55.4003 colon 53.40.
1 of 9.
Right, we've got 9 tracks on the CD.
0.
And there is no CDDB feature or anything like that. The real beauty of this is that you might use it if you were perhaps going to do some audio production and you wanted to bring a file straight from a CD into SoundForge. This in no way, in my opinion anyway, replaces your regular CD ripping software, such as my personal favorite, Easy CD Extractor, or another good one is CD Copy. But it's usable for extraction in an audio production context. For example, track 1 is Allentown. I've selected that. I'm just going to press enter and it will do its thing. Now, I could actually select multiple files, of course, and it would extract multiple files. I can go through and hold my control key down and press the space bar for every file I wanted to select. Now, what's it say it's doing?
Extract audio from CD .25%.
Okay, still doing it. I'm just going to turn JAWS on to none because it has a horrible habit of repeating itself and SoundForge's these sorts of processes go on. But it's currently extracting the Allentown song from the CD into an unprocessed WAV file. How's it doing?
Extract audio from CD .70%.
Okay, it's getting there. And we'll deal with how we might be able to use this in just a second once we have the file.
1:4000.
So the CD extraction is a really nice feature to have. Now I'll press the spacebar to play the file. Now the first thing you note, I'll just turn that up a little bit, is that there was quite a bit of a gap between when I pressed the spacebar and when we got the audio. Yeah, quite a noticeable gap. So the first thing I would do is put the Auto Trim Crop feature to work, go to the Process menu, choose Auto Trim Crop, we'll just check the preset.
Trim silence from end.
That's the one, and press Enter. Now it's going to automatically get rid of all that silence from both the beginning and the end of the Allentown file. And again, this is a feature that I don't think is in the SoundForge XP.
Coming ..7.
So it's just going ahead and doing that. Alright, now, when I hit the space by now, much better. Absolutely instantaneous, isn't it? Thank goodness for Auto Trim Crop. Okay, so we have the file. We'll just page down through it. Alright, we're in exactly the right place to go. Well, isn't that good? Now, this gives me an opportunity to demonstrate to you another feature of SoundForge, but before I do that, let's have another go with the acoustic mirror. I wonder if we can put this through one of the concert hall features and make it sound like Billy Joel is live. I wonder how that will sound. I have no idea, but we'll give it a go. We'll go to the effects menu,
effects, acoustic,
choose acoustic mirror, and we'll just move over to
preview, bypass, real time, create, select, imp, browse,
browse button,
acoustic, split, look, audio.
And I'm going to choose concert hall.
Churches. Concert. Current. Concert hall.
That's it.
List view. Civic center 10 facing audience .spy.
Alright, let's try that one. Okay, so
Sonic Foundry.
In this case, I think I might just preview it because it will take a shorter amount of time. So I'm just going to hit Alt P to preview it from within the acoustic mirror.
Alt P.
We'll just wait until it gets going. Now, I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear, but that really does sound like it's a like it's a concert in stereo, really.
Alt-T.
That's incredible. I'm just going to try another of those files.
Browse dot 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 button. list, Lurkin Cutlet, Civic Center 20.5, Civic Center 60.5, Civic Center 70 Balcony.5.
Okay.
Eastman Organ Recital Hall 30.5.
How incredible.
Eastman Organ Recital Hall 40.5. Fillinger Great Hall 80.5. Fillinger Great Hall Left Wall dots five. Fillinger Great Hall Row 8 Center dots five. Masonic Center Auditorium 30.5.
Oh, well, let's go there. Lots of concert hall options, aren't there? So we've loaded that file. I'm now going to press Alt P. Oh, yes. And I'm sure you can hear that. That sounds absolutely incredible in stereo. And it really does sound like you, again, like you smuggled your mini disc recorder into the Billy Joel concert. I must stop playing with it. Alright, that's Acoustic Mirror. Now, the other thing I was actually going to demonstrate for you is let's go to the save dialog here. I'll press, we haven't saved this file before, so I can press Control S for save.
Save as dialog. File name edit. Extract from CD3 track 1.wav.
Well, it's given me a name. I'm just going to call this C:\wave\Billy. We'll just call it Billy at the moment, because I'll tell you why. We'll go into the save as type.
Save as type combo box. Wave Microsoft Star.wav.
Now, currently it's set to wave. Obviously, it goes without saying that if you want to create MP3 files, real media, Windows media, all of those things, you can do it all from within SoundForge with superb quality. I actually have always thought that SoundForge does a much nicer job of real media files than the real producer does. I have no idea why. But it just seems to sound better to me. And I think we have talked on this program before about the new Vorbis format. This is the format that promises to replace MP3. It's really major audio compression, and it sounds great. In fact, just yesterday they released version 4, and it sounds better than it ever has. So Vorbis may eventually become a major contender in the audio compression stakes, and you'll be pleased to hear SoundForge 5 supports that too. Now, let's hit the letter P, because this is a new feature in SoundForge 5.
PerfectClarityAudioStar.com.
Perfect Clarity Audio is a new thing that Sonic Foundry has invented. What is Perfect Clarity Audio? Well, SoundForge are touting it as a lossless compression. Now, I don't want to lose you on this, so let me try and explain this. If you get an MP3 file, or you make an MP3 file of a song, and it's 128K, certainly, 128K MP3 file, and you listen to it, and you hear passages that involve cymbal crashes or particularly high-frequency sounds, certain types of instrumentation, you can hear that it's an MP3 file. You don't have to generally be a super listener to be able to tell that what you're listening to is not the CD. It's an MP3 file. There's a sort of a swirling sound. There's stuff going on. And that sort of thing is called an artifact, and artifacts apply to most forms of compression, whether they're real media, Windows media, MP3, whatever. The less the compression, the less noticeable the artifact. So if you were to listen to that as a 360K MP3 file, chances are it's more difficult to hear. But it's a lot bigger as well, you see. Now, Perfect Clarity Audio, Sonic Foundry say it's a lossless compression. In other words, you can compress this file and not hear a difference. So, the thing about Perfect Clarity Audio is that I don't know how well it's going to be supported, but I would use this, if I was going to use it at all, for archival purposes, I think. As long as there's going to be SoundForge in the future to decompress the jolly things, that's always the worry, but that's how I would think I would want to use this. So if I wanted to keep a file, an absolute pristine quality, but maybe I didn't have a CD-ROM drive to back up the original WAV file or something. That's what I would use this for. Now, let's just tab through now that we've chosen Perfect Clarity Audio.
Save button. Cancel button. RGNS/playlist combo box. Save regions and template combo box. Project default.
Project default.
Mono, 44.1 kHz, 16-bit audio. stereo, 44.1 kHz, 16 bit audio.
Well, I'm going to choose that, and we'll just see how long it takes. This will be interesting.
Saving really .ca.9%.
Oh, see, it's going reasonably fast, actually. It's a lot it's a lot faster than, say, Sonic Foundry's MP3 save.
Saving really .ca.40%.
It's done 40% of it now, so it's moving along quite nicely. This file, we'll just check how big it is, because that's what interests me. Because it's not lossy compression, you know, surely there must be some kind of compensation in terms of the size of the file is not as small as you would get otherwise. So we'll just see how much
I am. Saving really .ca.99%. Sound forge dialog. The file cwarkbilly.ca has been saved in a compressed format. The sound of the file may have changed due to the compression. Reopening the file will allow you to hear any changes that may have occurred. Would you like to close the current window and reopen the file now? Yes, but...
Yes, I would. So, it's now opening it.
Loading billy.ca.11%.
And it's loading it reasonably fast,
Data
I suppose. Oh, gosh, that was very fast. No,
loading
no, it's still going.
Alright,
it's... Loading
billy...
Yeah, right, we'll just silence that. It's now loading the file. And I'll just have a quick listen. I don't expect to be able to hear a difference between the original WAV file and this.
Data window.
Alright. Remember, we didn't apply the acoustic mirror stuff, we just previewed it, so that's why the file sounds...
Well, we're living here in Allentown.
Yeah, I can't say I can hear a difference, but then I'm not really listening very carefully at the moment.
3:43.
So, it's 3:43, just under 4 minutes long. I wonder if we can get to the file size from the properties dialog in here.
Properties,
general properties, file name brilli.ca, location CWARG, file size 24.88 MB, 25,475,648 bytes.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's nowhere near MP3 quality, MP3 compression, but it's 24 megs, did it say?
File size 24.8.
It's 24 megs and... just under 4 minutes long. So the original file would have been around about 36 megs, roughly. So it has compressed it. And so that's what you would use it for. I think that vindicates my statement. It's not going to replace MP3, and I don't think that was ever its intention. But it will be good for those who want to archive vital material and save some space and know that the quality is not going to deteriorate in any way. So that's Perfect Clarity Audio. You get it free with SoundForge version 5. Am I happy with the upgrade? I am, except for one issue, and that is the batch converter. The batch converter has gone. You used to be able to go to the Tools menu in SoundForge 4.5 and go to the batch converter, and I used to use that, and I still do use it, actually, to do main menu post-production work. It's a vital part of my working method, my methodology for doing audio production. So I'm disappointed about that, but it's coming back. They say that they are going to release a new batch converter as a standalone product, and that if you purchase SoundForge version 5, you'll be notified when the batch converter comes out, and you'll get it for free. All isn't lost, though, because a nice touch is that you can use SoundForge version 4.5 and SoundForge version 5 on your system at the same time. So if, like me, you just gotta have the batch converter, then you can keep your SoundForge 4.5 and use the batch converter in it, and use SoundForge 5.0 for everything else. Apart from that little niggle, I'm absolutely wrapped with SoundForge version 5. Lots of new features. The CD extraction, for example, if I'm using my audio production library of CDs where I want to use a music bed, just to be able to put that in the drive and preview the tracks and press enter and have that instantly turn into a WAV file, that's absolutely fantastic. The WAV hammer's nice, so I'm still getting the most out of that, learning how to get the most out of it. Acoustic mirror is fun. I hope I'll find a legitimate use for it one day. But yes, it's got lots of nice new features. SoundForge 5.0 sells for just under $400 US, As I say, it is on special until the 19th of March, only from Sonic Foundry as a special promotional offer. And if you would like the URL for that, I'm not being deliberately mysterious about it. It's just so long that I know that if I tried to read it over the air, it would get lost in the translation. It's one of those complex ones. So please feel free to drop me an email if you want to buy the SoundForge for $99. Main menu at acbradio.org, and I'll email that back. If you want to learn how to use SoundForge, it would be most remiss of me not to tell you that I have produced a tutorial. It goes for about 5 hours. It's on 4 cassettes. It sells for $79 US. It is being distributed by Freedom Scientific, and it's called Forging Ahead. And all of the editing features, all of the things that we cover, have not changed in SoundForge version 5, so it's still just as relevant as it ever was. And if you would like that, if you're in the US, I think you can buy it online, over the web. You can go to Freedom Scientific's website, go to the Hinder Joyce division, and go into the tutorial section. You'll find Forging Ahead. You can also hear a real audio sample of it, so you can see if you like it before you buy it. It's also available through Freedom Scientific's agents. Just a reminder of other websites that you may like to visit. The SoundForge 5.0 set files for Window Eyes are out. Brian Hartgen has done them. www.hartgen.org. Jim Snowbarger is not far away from releasing his SoundForge 5.0 scripts for Jaws for Windows, and they offer additional functionality to that which you'll find in the Jaws 3.7 scripts. www.wsnow.com. Also, without deluging you with information, if you have any questions about SoundForge, if you think you might need a bit of help as you come up to speed with it, you can join the PC audio list. Now, the PC audio list is in a bit of a state of transition. Hopefully, very shortly, it will be running on Yahoo groups, so you may like to subscribe to it now. And even if, when Main Menu first airs, it's not on Yahoo groups, it will be very shortly thereafter, and the list is active, so subscribe to that now if you're not subscribed already. If you're on Topica, then it will transfer shortly. So the new address will be pc-audio-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. pc-audio-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And enjoy SoundForge 5.0. I know I am.